I want to continue there. The subject that I started last week and about got done with the introduction. I don't know how anybody can get an introduction done in less than 45 minutes. I was talking about a subject that I said that not many people talk a lot about. You don't hear a lot of preaching about it, don't hear a lot of teaching about it. The books that are out there about it, I pretty much have read all of them. Dougie, you might want to catch those people, please. And that is concerning the name of Jesus. And so we know that that name is misused a lot. We know that people try to take away from that name. And we also know, and the way that you can tell if a group of followers is a cult is if they try to take away from the deity of Christ. Many cults now attempt not to be open and honest about how they actually, what they actually think about the name of Jesus. There are groups out there that believe that they will teach you, and they really do believe that Jesus was a real person. He was a great man, and he was a prophet. But they don't believe that he was literally the Son of God. Anybody that doesn't teach that Jesus was literally the Son of God is taking away from the deity of Christ. And so you need to be careful with that. It's very important. I quoted you last week something that I think is very important for you to hear. E.W. Kenyon wrote this years ago. He says, the name of Jesus has lost none of its authority. And, you know, E.W. Kenyon's been gone for a long time, but still, the name of Jesus has lost none of its authority, none of its power. And the effort to rob us of some of the major portions of Scripture by false dispensational division of Scripture fails utterly. For in Paul's ministry with the Gentiles, and in his epistles to the Gentiles, he gives the name of Jesus a place that absolutely refutes the entire teaching of those who would put the power of the name of Jesus over into the kingdom period. In other words, that none of that stuff is happening here now. That Jesus was not involved in our everyday lives. That the things that we saw that the apostles were doing and his disciples were doing, that he doesn't do those things anymore. I shared with you last week, too, that as I go through these scriptures about the name of Jesus and how important it is that that we use it a lot and we use it regular. We give that name a place of high esteem. We know that the Scripture says that His name is above every name that's ever named. You know, cancer has a name. Jesus is above cancer. We know that depression is a name. Jesus is above depression. We know, according to the Scripture, that any name, anything that's named, Jesus is above it. And I think that we don't use that enough, and we don't use it like we're supposed to. I was going to share some scripture with you, and I told you I'm going to do it with you in order. My wife likes that. She likes, she thinks that when people preach that they should go in order and you shouldn't jump around. So for her today, and last week, the two scriptures we got through, we'll do those in order. So if you already have those notes, you don't have to write it down. But Matthew 1:21 says, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save the people from his sins." You know, is there a more fitting name than the name of Jesus? I couldn't think of any other name. But the angel told Joseph to name the child Jesus. And why? Because he would save the people from their sins. So we do know that there, at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. The way that you and I are saved, or anybody in the history of the world that gets saved and has salvation, is because we believed on the name Jesus and we confessed with our mouth. We believed in our heart and we confessed with our mouth that Jesus literally is the Son of God. And that's where salvation comes from. So first of all, that's an important name for that. There's a lot of people that pretty much believe that that's all Jesus, the name of Jesus will do anymore, which is save you. They think that God has set the world in order after the last disciple died or the last apostle died, that none of the things that we read in the Bible continue to happen anymore. But that's even anti-scripture, because we read where the apostles had disciples under them and they were doing the same thing that the apostles did. So when did it stop? I mean, you know, they're taking the word out of context. You know, you had Paul, who considered himself to be an apostle, and we know that he was the apostle Paul. But then you had Timothy under him, who lived on after Paul was gone, and Timothy was doing the same stuff that all the rest of them were doing. And then his disciples were doing that, and then the other people's disciples were doing that, and it was continuing on during that time. Mark 9, 39 was another scripture that I gave you last week. I just want to go through these real quick, the ones that I gave you last week. And it says, "But Jesus said, forbid him not, for there is no man which shall do a miracle in my name than can lightly speak evil of me." In other words, we know that at this time the disciples come to Jesus and say, "Hey, there's people out there and they're praying for people and they're getting healed and they're casting out demons in your name. Should we tell them to stop?" And Jesus said, no man can go out there and use my name to see these things done and then be able to easily go out and talk negatively about me, right? And you know, have you ever noticed that even when there's people that go out and preach, people that we know that even their lives aren't right? Let me give you an example. A pastor friend of mine used to paint in Georgia while he was going to college. He worked with this guy that was just a street drunk, period. He was a drunk. And they'd be on the job, he'd be drunk. He was sleeping all around and all that kind of stuff. But about once a year, he'd sober himself up for 30, 45 days, straighten his act out, come down to Florida, set up a tent and do tent crusades. People got saved. People got healed. People's lives got touched and changed. After that was over with, he'd go back up to Georgia, be a drunk, carousing around, doing all those things. And you could say, see, it's people like that. But here's what I think's important about that. Not that you have a fallen man who really needs help. How about the fact that it doesn't matter how that man was living? When they believed on the name of Jesus, they still got what it was they were looking for. So you know what? What people will say, well, you know, that man's not living right. And justly so. But when it really boils down to it, if you, by faith believing, and you receive something that you know that Jesus said that was yours, then God will honor His word, even if the other people aren't doing the right things. I mean, my Lord, God used a donkey to preach in the Old Testament, right? So, you know, isn't it interesting? There have been people through the years that we've read about that were that did mighty things in God's name and went out in Jesus' name and were preaching and teaching that had issues and had things going on in their life. And the word says that God could have sent angels to preach, but he chose the foolishness of the world to confound the wise, and he uses imperfect people to preach the word of God. Now look, I want a pastor who lives right. I want a pastor who's always striving to get closer to God. I want a pastor who encourages me. I want a pastor who lifts me up. I have that pastor. Y'all have met my pastor. My pastor was just here in January. That's who my pastor is. And that's the type of person that I can follow. I'm following Jesus, but I'm following him because he pushes me more towards Jesus. If he weren't doing that, then you know what? I'll just keep pushing towards Jesus. But he's been doing that since he was 5 years old, and I doubt that he's changing now. He challenges me, Pastor Callahan does. That's what I want. However, if people go out and receive things, if you go out and receive your healing in the name of Jesus and you find out that the person that prayed for you wasn't right, that doesn't mean you're any less healed, because it wasn't the man that healed you in the first place. It was Jesus and the name of Jesus because of all the things that were performed. So I'm not trying to make light of that. I'm not trying to take away from that people shouldn't live right, that people should live right. No, I'm not trying to take away from that at all. What I'm telling you is that, you know, man will fail you, but God will not. And God has sent his son, Jesus, and Jesus will do and has done everything that he said he would do. The Bible said there's so much power in the name of Jesus that, you know, that he places that power in us. Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. We know that the scripture says, even greater things have I done, shall you do. Jesus said that about us. He wasn't just talking about the people he was talking to then. He was talking about to anybody that would ever live on earth that would receive him and receive that power. God still performs miracles today. God will still use you to perform a miracle through you. Does that mean that you did it? No, it doesn't mean that you did it. We know that God did it, and we know that it was done in Jesus' name. We know that. But God uses a man, and God uses a woman to get that done. Sometimes just miraculous things just happen to people, but most times, like the Bible says about finances, God doesn't rain money out of heaven. He doesn't rain money into your mailbox. He's not down here printing that for you. But he'll talk to a man or he'll talk to a woman who'll get it to you. They'll be obedient, right? That's the way that works. But God is still a miracle-working God. And at the name of Jesus, you and I can see miracles in the lives of other people as we're obedient to God and do what he tells us to do. And you know what? I think that you need to say, Father, I believe. I believe that at the name of Jesus, when I pray for people, the miraculous is going to happen. I believe, Father, that when I pray in the name of Jesus, that not only am I going to be healed, and not only am I going to walk in health and in healing, but when I pray for others, they will too. I believe that when I pray for people that need deliverance, that in the name of Jesus, people will be delivered. You need to say that. You need to confess. I do. Not only do I confess that, I also confess that, Father, I thank him for the gifts of the Spirit that operate freely in my life. And that when I'm obedient, and God can, and there's some gifts that I walk stronger in than others, but God can use any gift within me at any given time. And if that's the case, I may not even know how to operate in that. I might not even have ever operated that way before, but it doesn't mean that God couldn't use me, and that he could use me in the gift of wisdom, the gift of knowledge, whatever the gift might be that person, let's say it's just me and that other person, and God's trying to minister to that other person, God will use me in that gift. Because if it's just one person, God will give you the gift to minister to that person. Well, if that's the case, I say, Lord, I just thank you that I'm sensitive to the Spirit and that when you want to operate in me like that, even though I haven't done it before, I'm just obedient and do it. We need to be sensitive to God like that. We can't take God and put him in a little box and just say, okay, well, this is the only way I've ever seen that he's operated in my life, so that's only the only way he does it. You know, he'll do whatever he wants to do if we'll let him, if we'll be sensitive to that move at the name of Jesus. And we need to consider ourselves the people that see miracles happening in people's lives because we pray for them. And you know what? We get the opportunity all the time, don't we? You know, we have people around us that say things all the time at work, church, home. Doesn't matter where we are, we're going to be around ball games. We're going to be around people that just continually to talk in a way that doesn't line up with what the Word says. And that gives us perfect opportunity.
Well, if anything could happen bad, it's going to happen to me.
And I'd say, well, you know what? Look, I don't believe that. Or they'll say, can you believe? And I go, well, yeah, I'm a believer. I can believe. And that throws them off because sometimes they think I'm trying to be hyper-spiritual or super-spiritual. But if I say I'm a believer, there's nothing that you could tell me that God said He would do that I don't believe. I believe all of it. And I don't believe that He might want to do it for me. I believe if He says it in the book, He wants to do it for me. I believe if He says it in the book, He wants to do it for you. And some people go, well, if it's His will, it is His will. He put it in the book that that's what He does. And if He's ever done it for anybody in the history of the world, since He's no respecter of persons according to the Scripture, then He'll do it for me. And we have to believe that. And we have to walk in that. And we have to operate in that. I tell you what, I've just been so sick with these migraines. Has anybody prayed for you? Can I pray for you? Because I believe that by the stripes Jesus took to His back, He'll take that pain away from you. We get that open opportunity all the time. Sometimes I say, you know what? I don't know if you even believe in this or not, but you know God still heals today. Have you tried medication? Yes. Does it work? No. I've tried everything. I've been to doctor after doctor. Let me pray for you. Let me pray for you. Why don't you try a little great physician? Try some Jesus and see what happens. It's amazing watching the look on people's face when they really didn't believe necessarily, and you prayed for them and that thing left. Freaked them out. For lack of a better word, they're like, you can see the look on their face change, like, that thing just left. And I'll say, well, did something happen? Yeah, what happened? And they'll say everything but I'm healed. They'll go, well, so what's that mean? That means that's what Pastor Callahan tries to get across to people. They'll say, well, what just happened? They go, well, and they make all this description. He goes, no, but what does that mean? And he makes them say that means I'm healed. He gets that confession out of them. For them to say that they're healed. At the name of Jesus, that happens. Mark chapter 16, one of my favorite scriptures. Mark chapter 16. And go down to verse 17. And these signs shall follow them that believe. Okay? That believe what? They believe on the name of Jesus. These signs will follow those that believe. This is Jesus talking to believers. Okay, you're believers, so He's talking to you. He said, in My name, they shall cast out devils. You know, lots of times we're given names to that will. Have you ever noticed that it doesn't matter what it is, we've got some politically correct name for it? It used to be that a drunk was a drunk. Now they're addicted to alcohol. It used to be they were a druggie. Now they just have a substance addiction. It's like we've got all these politically correct words. Now we've got for people that will say, well, they're mentally disabled. Or they're, we used to say they're crazy. Yeah. Or they're bipolar. But you know what? I'm convinced we've got a lot of people locked up in mental institutions that are demon-possessed, and that's the cause of what's going on. That they have an oppression of the enemy that's come on them, and that if they got their mind, if we could get them in a place to get their mind and to get them transformed by the renewing of their mind and get that word in them, then they wouldn't need medication. And some people go, well, you know, some people just really do have chemical imbalances. And you know what? I believe that too. But let me tell you what. If God made you and you got a chemical imbalance, I believe he can fix the imbalance. I believe that if you needed a new heart, God could, if he made the first one, he could put a new one in you. I believe he can do that type of surgery. I believe he can correct things like that, you know, if we believe. Who says that God quit doing stuff like that? God's always done stuff like that. I mean, I remember during, and I've watched some videos of on YouTube of some of the great people of the healing movement, which was, you know, what, 40s and 50s and a little bit of the 60s. And you can see these people in the Crusades, and you can sit there and watch legs grow out. And, you know, you can watch people be healed that there was one guy that got prayed for. He didn't even have an ear on his head. He had skin that just covered that right there, and he could hear. Now, if you ain't got all the stuff that goes to an ear, and you got skin over the top of where the hole's supposed to be and this amplifier right here, and you ain't got none of that, and you can't talk because you can't hear, and you're like that, you know, because you just kind of mouth words because you can't really hear, and then somebody prays for you, and they whisper where the hole's supposed to be, something, and you can repeat it. That's a miracle. I mean, what is it that's so big that God can't do? The Bible says, is God's arm too short? He can do it. At the name of Jesus, he can do it. And we need to understand that he can. He says, they'll cast out devils. They'll speak with new tongues. Now, you know what? How can people go and say that that's not for the church today? How can they go and say people who speak in tongues is of the devil when it says, if you believe, then you will speak with new tongues? It doesn't just mean that you're going to speak new words and you're going to quit cussing. That's what some of them teach. But I'm going to tell you, people need that baptism of the Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, because I'm going to tell you, there's lots of things in my life that I struggled with until I received that baptism. And when I did, that's when I really got victory over those things. To this day, when pressure tries to put itself on me, and you can feel it. You can feel oppression. You can feel pressure when it's trying to come on you. I just pull myself off to the side. Sometimes I do it under my breath because I'm not in a place where I can pull myself to the side. And I just begin to pray in the Spirit. And that thing will lift right off the top of me. Let me tell you something. Speaking with new tongues. And we still should be. Nowhere does it say in the Word that that stopped. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. Here's what I believe. I believe God sanctifies my water, and I believe he sanctifies my bread. I believe that it doesn't matter if I go somewhere or do something, even if I ate something that was supposed to have something in it, that it's not going to touch me. I can tell you that that happened in our family's life. In our family's life, we went to this big thing, that at a church that we were attending. Everybody in the place ate the same stuff. I ate some of everything. Most of my family did. Kevin and his family was there. But you know what? We had at least a person in just about every family that was there that got sick. Sometimes everybody in the family got sick. We even had a guy who was the music and the worship leader, and he was awesome, who died because he had a underlying liver issue that he didn't know about, and he died. Well, nobody in my family was touched. And here's what I believe. I believe that he sanctifies my food and my water, and no deadly thing shall harm me. I believe that. Let me tell you something. When it says that you can pick up a serpent, Don't go do that. You know, you can say, but I don't even like snakes. I'm scared of snakes. I'm telling you to respect snakes. But if you reach down and grab a hold of something, and one of them grab a hold of you, then shake that thing off and go on, and I believe that you'll be okay. There's some churches where they actually pass out the poisonous snakes, and they start handling them, and they get all in a frenzy in their praise, and they're running around handing snakes and having people drink strychnine poison and all that kind of stuff. And you know, that's not what the Bible means there. It's not what the Bible means at all. And you know, some men people die. So do you say they had little faith or they were stupid? Who wants to go grab a hold of a snake? I'm more respectful. When I go in the lake, I'm more respectful of a water moccasin than I am a gator. I really am. Gators, that don't even faze me. But them little moccasins come at you, and they mean business. But if something were to happen, we can take them up and they won't hurt us. It says, we shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Okay? So when I pray for people, if you got somebody that you know is on their way to heaven and you believe they're on their way to heaven, don't get me to come pray. Because, yeah, I would be one of those that went in there, like people say to me, that's an oxymoron, that's going to give people false hope, as those people say. There's no such thing as false hope. Hope is hope. I believe, according to the Scripture, you remember I just got through telling you about the worship leader who passed away? I went and prayed for him. When I prayed for him, here's how I believe. I believe that he was so healed because when I prayed, I believed. I went out. I was so confident of that prayer that I went out and told his kids that he's going to be up, he's going to be walking around and all that. Then he died. Then something happened to me. I didn't quit praying like that. I didn't quit pastoring. I didn't quit doing all the things that I was doing. But I do know this, that affected me that he didn't get healed, because I believed. I prayed believing. If I prayed believing, it's supposed to happen. Well, I had somebody prophesy over me that didn't know anything about that. And I'm going to tell you what the Lord read in my mail. And he said, that thing that happened 3 years ago, that'll never happen again. 3 years later, there's still things that I wouldn't hear and I wouldn't receive because I believed that man was going to be healed and he wasn't healed. And here's what God spoke to my heart. He says, look, you do what I tell you to do. And you don't back off of it one bit. He goes, what happened to Mickey and what happened with Mickey is none of your business. You're supposed to go in there and pray. And yes, you're supposed to go in there and believe. That's what you're supposed to do when you go in there. However, whatever happens between anything after that, whatever happens afterwards, that's between me and them. And so what does that mean? I also learned that I don't want to figure out what that means. I don't want to figure out what that means. All I know is that I want to go in and I'm going to pray and I'm going to pray that God heal their body. And you know, the Bible says we're two on earth agree touching any one thing, we shall have it. So lots of times I ask them if they've been given the death sentence, from the doctor, I come in and say, how do you want me to pray? Because if they're tired and they're ready to go and they've let it go, then I'm not going to try to hold them here. I'm going to tell you right now, if you go and pray for somebody that's seen Jesus, they had a period where they kind of were out of their body or whatever, and they were unconscious in the hospital, it's hard to bring, unless the Lord spoke to them and said, hey, you know, I'm not done with you yet, I'm going to send you back down there. And I don't even care what their age is. Once they've experienced that and felt that love in the presence of Jesus, I'm going to tell you right now, it's hard to pray for those people and keep them here, because they feel that love and how pure that love is. But I believe that God, when I pray, after reading that, it says, I shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. So how would I pray any other way? If I go into somebody and they said, well, the doctor has said this and the doctor has said that, I'll say, well, how do you want me to pray? And they look at me sometimes like that's the craziest thing they've ever heard of. What's your friend's name that I prayed with in the hospital? Tina. I went and prayed with her in the hospital. But you know what? She knew where I was coming from. I said, so how do you want me to pray? And she goes, you know what? I know the scripture says this. And I know the scripture says this. And I know the scripture says this. And this is how I want you to pray. That's exactly how I prayed. Some people say, I just want you to pray that when they go in, that the Lord would guide the surgeon's hand and all that. And then that's the way I pray. Because, you know, God uses doctors and nurses and medicine to heal. Obviously, that's a good thing because what did he say? He says, laughter doeth good like a medicine. So if medicine wasn't made for us and it didn't do good, he wouldn't have said that in the Bible, would he? Right? So as a faith person and somebody who preaches faith, I'm not saying that I'm in the medical community. I'm not saying that the medical community is totally off and whacked and all of that. I just happen to make my living doing that. No. What I'm saying is God uses both. And you know what? We have to pray for people right where their faith is. Sometimes we have to help people elevate their faith, right? But if I'm going to pray, I'm going to pray and I'm going to ask them every time because it needs to be two on earth agree touching any one thing. And lots of times when somebody's got something in their mind and in their heart and in their spirit and that's the way they've heard it their entire life, they're not open to a lot of other things. And lots of times you just feel like, sometimes I just want to pray and leave because after I pray with them and sit there for a while and hear what they say after I prayed, then I'm wondering why they had me pray in the first place. Because you can tell by what they said afterwards, they didn't believe nothing we just prayed about. They just canceled everything out. Well, if the Lord sees fit to it that I could, I'm like, oh my Lord. Just want to go, okay, well, I take that prayer back and I'm leaving in Jesus' name. So, that's the commission. That's the Great Commission. Jesus empowers his followers at the Great Commission. And that's us. We're his followers. We're believers, right? He's commissioned us to do what? Based on this, to go out and perform supernatural things in the name of Jesus. Miracles, signs, wonders, healing, all of that. And look, am I a vessel that God uses? Yes. Am I the one that prayed? Yes. I can say I prayed for them and they were healed. And then some people go, you prayed for them. You didn't do I prayed. What they're trying to say was, that doesn't sound like humility to me because you said you prayed and they were healed. Well, you know what? Let's get all crazy about it and let's just sit there and clarify everything. Sometimes people just, want to get so holy and all. I'm not, that doesn't take anything away from what God does, right? Sometimes people get healed, they just get healed, right? Without anybody being involved. But sometimes people get healed because God sent you to that person to get healed. Because maybe there's something else going on. Hey, I know, and you know that I know, that when I pray for somebody, I know that Jesus did it. Yeah, right? I ain't ever taught that I did any of that. I don't have the power to do any of that. It's Jesus. But I prayed, and they were healed in Jesus' name. You know, but some people just want to, argue with you about that mess. God called us to do that. And I can confidently talk about it. See, they confuse humility with, oh, I'm not worthy, blah, 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 blah. But hey, I'm an ambassador for Christ. And if I'm an ambassador for Christ and I'm obedient to the Word and I do what the Word says, that's what humility is, not telling everybody about how humble I am.
I'm so humble that I would never even say that.
Okay. Whatever. You know, isn't that amazing that people want to concentrate on that mess rather than just praying for people and seeing things happen in Jesus' name? Let's split hairs over it so you can tell me how right you are. That's what it seems to be sometimes. We can drive out demons. We can speak with new tongues, place our hands on the sick and they'll be healed. How? In Jesus' name. That's how. And with the name of Jesus on our lips, here's how it is. I'm a Spirit-filled ambassador for Christ. I'm a Spirit-powered ambassador of Christ to go out and to do with who? Well, you know what? If you don't have a pulpit, and most people don't, and if you don't have a guitar where you can sing it, or an instrument where you can sing it, most of us are going to go out in our everyday life who only you would have contact, out of this body, only you would have contact with that person. Then guess what? You're to be a Spirit-powered ambassador for Christ. You should be sensitive in your spirit to be listening to what's being said and find the opportunity to be able to share. And guess what? God will open the door. If you say, God, I want to be obedient to you today, and I want you to open doors where I can minister to people today. And I'm praying right now that when I hear it, that I know it and I'm sensitive to it and that I just do it. Have you ever heard somebody talking like that and they wasn't expecting you to say, well, hey, would you let me pray for you? And then you'll say, hey, you know, I heard what you just said. Is it okay? I believe God takes care of things like that. Can I pray for you? And sometimes they look at you like, one of them, huh? But then when something happens, it messes with their head a little bit because they know something happened. And you know, God will get the glory for it. One way or the other, God's going to get the glory. John 16. John 16. And go down to verse 23. And in that day, hey, we have authority over sickness, and we have authority over the devil. Lots of Christians don't know that you don't just have to sit around and let the devil do whatever he wants to you, like he's greater than God. People talk about, the enemy's been on my back all week long. And sometimes you want to go, you big sissy. You know, hey, just stand on the name of Jesus, man. Tell that mess to go. You've got authority over that. What good does it do to have the authority if you ain't going to exercise it? Go, enemy, when that thing hits, you don't have to be around anybody. Go, enemy, you're a liar, and I ain't receiving that. The Word says, by the stripes Jesus took to his back, I'm healed. Or you can say, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. You delight in the prosperity of your servant. You said you'd meet all my need according to your riches and glory. And enemy, you're a liar. I don't receive that. I don't accept that. And all my bills are paid in Jesus' name, and I'm totally debt free. I thank you for supernatural debt cancellation in my life. Hey, you start saying what the Word says about you, and you quit listening to those lies that then you'll never amount to nothing. You're sorry. You ain't ever going to get a raise. You ain't ever going to move anywhere within this company. You're not ever going to do any better for yourself your entire life. Look how old you are. Look how young you are. None of these good things are going. That's all lies of the devil. It don't matter how old you are. Don't matter how young you are. You know, the enemy's used that for years. That really stuck out to me because I had a pastor one time that God sent me to that church for a period of time to listen to that pastor. Because he said, he got up and he'd preach and people would clap and go, oh, that's good, that's good. He goes, you know what? He goes, I appreciate you clapping and I appreciate that you enjoyed that and I appreciate that that ministered to you. He said, but you know what? I was saying the same things when I was 30 years old and nobody liked it. It's like because I was young, you know, like it had no validity. But now that I'm seasoned, he said, you know, now people's like, oh, that's profound. You know, we just need to go do what we're supposed to do and quit worrying about that. About age or whatever might block us from doing whatever it is God's called us to do. I don't know if y'all listened to Joel this morning, but he was talking about prejudice. And he was saying, he said he was talking to a black gentleman that says, I don't understand this whole thing. He goes, you know what? I'm black. When I'm dead, I'll be black. He said, but white people, when they're cold, they turn blue.
And then when they sick, they turn a little yellow. And when they die, they kind of get that purple look on them and all that. And he said, they call us colored. You know? And then he talked about that he met this black lady that was, he met this black lady that says, you know what, I'll never forget. And she had lived long enough to have been through a bunch of that mess. And she says, and I'll never forget what happened back then and how things were. And I don't want to be friends with any of them. And she was talking about white people. And Joel looks at her and says, well, what about me? What about this smile? Can you not love me? And she kind of joked around with him a little bit. But then he said, he called one of his assistants over that was a little white young girl and brought it over there. And she said, do me a favor. He said, do me a favor. Give her a chance. He goes, give her a chance to be a friend to you. And then you tell me, he goes, I'm telling you, you can't not love her. And they started spending time. That lady was sitting in the audience with that little young white girl. The Lord delivered her of all those things that she couldn't let go. You know, all that is a forgiveness thing and moving on. And we do know that God is a spirit. Spirit is no color. Whatever color the tent is, we can't, you know, we're not responsible for what color the tent is. And people have used the Bible for years to, you know, they said that black people came from the curse where, Cain had killed his brother. And the curse was he didn't kill him. He just let him go into another town and said, we ain't going to let nobody bother you. But that everybody could see what the curse was. And it was that he was black. Are you kidding me? I mean, you know, they've used that scripture. They even used the scripture that we're not to be unequally yoked together. That means a white person and a black person. But white men could go to Asia and Japan and Thailand and all them and marry all them foreign women over there that were also of color. And they'd come back and everybody'd accept them. Oh, look, they got a little Japanese baby. Oh, yeah. But if it was a white person and a black person, you couldn't be unequally yoked with each other. But you know what? That's not what the scripture is talking about. It's talking about believers. And so people have taken those things and made it whatever it is they want it to be. But you got to go, you got to stretch it a long way to find that in the Bible because it isn't there. God is love, and He don't care what color. And let me tell you what, He's so brilliant that it makes up every color. He's so bright that it makes up every color. God is a spirit, and us who worship Him have to worship Him in spirit and in truth. And you know what? The bottom line is we shouldn't see color. And if we see color, it shouldn't be any different than He has a really outgoing personality. Oh, that person is really shy. I mean, it shouldn't be any different than that. And you know, and we don't say, because they're different, because they're outgoing and we're shy, that we go make up Bible verses to fit that. You know, but we've done that about a lot of different things. We need to make sure that we understand that God uses all of us. And God will use, I'm going to tell you what, God used a man of color. I totally believe it. I told you after I got saved, it all started when I was getting ready to do a drug deal and this man comes in and I don't even have time for him, but I just want him to leave. And he come in, he looked at me straight in my face, held my hands and prayed with me. And I believe he just prayed something on me right there. Just a little old black man being obedient to God. I was rude to him. I just wanted him to leave. But you know what? He did what he was supposed to do. He came in and he planted that seed. I didn't think about that till way after I'd gotten saved. God put that back in my heart. That, remember that man? I'm like, man, he sowed that seed. You know, I want to be that person in other people's lives. Kevin was up here talking today that they were on a plane or something and somebody was speaking a different language. And you and Kevin? And Kevin said he was talking back to him. And
because he thought he understood the language. And Kevin goes, you don't understand nothing they're saying. And Kevin goes, I thought I was understanding everything they said. I didn't even speak that language. He might have been. He wasn't. Hey, but he could. But he could. In that day you shall ask me nothing. Very, verily I say to you, whatever you shall ask in my and ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. He said, so if we'll ask the Father in Jesus' name. Now let me get something straight about the way we pray. There's nothing wrong with praying to Jesus or using Jesus when we're praying. But Jesus said that we're to pray to the Father in Jesus' name. That's the prescription. The prescription for prayer, according to the Scripture, is we pray to the Father in Jesus' name. He says, ask the Father in my name. Whatever you ask the Father in my name, I'll give it to you. So far, you hadn't asked me for nothing. That would be true of a lot of Christians. So far, you haven't asked me anything. He said, but there's going to come a time when whatever it is that you ask in my name, I'm going to give it to you. Why? So that your joy will be full. In other words, I'm going to make you happy. That's a good thing. Answered prayer. What's the key to answered prayer? You pray in Jesus' name. Don't be hesitant. You don't have to sit back and act like you're not worthy. You just go boldly before the throne of God and you ask in Jesus' name. That's our part. And what's God's part? To answer the prayer. That's the way it works. John chapter 20. John chapter 20. Go down to verse 31. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through His name. Literally, life, and life abundantly, is through the name of Jesus. What's the Scripture say? The thief cometh, John 10:10. The thief cometh, but to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, same verse. Jesus says, I have come. This is in red. That you might have life. And that word for life is Zoe. Life as God has it, or the God kind of life. And that you would have it abundantly. If you look that word up, it says exceeding abundantly, above all that you could ever ask or think. If it gives life, it's God. So that stuff where people blame, I know why God put this on me. I know why God allowed me to have this cancer. Because I've been running all up and down these halls praying for people and sharing Jesus and all that. He couldn't have just called you to be a hospital chaplain without making you sick? Oh, well, then you couldn't relate. Oh, really? You're healed, whole, healthy, walk in health, and you can't relate? That the enemy attacks people's bodies? Because you're one of them faith people that preaches that you'll never have a problem? Well, that's a lie. What's the word say in this world? You will have trouble, but take heart in this. Jesus said, I was tempted every way just as you were tempted, which means sickness tried to come on him. He had to cast that thing off. Right? We got to do it the same way he did it. You know, the explorers came to this world, and what were they looking for when they first came? Oh, Ponce de Leon came down here looking for the fountain of youth, right? And then he found some water, and people go up there all the time. I ain't seen one of them come out of there looking younger. Maybe they felt younger, but they ain't come out of there looking younger. And these people now, they say, oh, well, they had a facelift, and now they look younger. Now, look, no condemnation. You want to go get a facelift? Go get a facelift. But most of them I see look like the Joker off of Batman after they've had it done. They might think they look young. If that's what they need to think, that they, You know, I think it's okay to get a little gray and have a wrinkle somewhere and all that kind of stuff, but not, no. Them people, look all wind blown. I mean, some people, they get a good job. Some people, Kenny Rogers, whoever did his, they ought not to say, tell nobody they did it. I mean, well, she's had 127 of them. The bottom line is, you know, people are always looking for that thing, you know, to make them young. But what they really ought to be looking for is life and the author of life, the author and the finisher of our faith. Who's Jesus? Jesus. We have life in His name. It's the name that's above all name. Not just life as we're living it down here. We're in this world, but we're not of this world, right? I'm not talking about this life in this earthly tent. I'm talking about spiritual life. We will live somewhere for eternity. In other words, when we die, the only thing that's going to die is the tent, the outside. The spirit never dies. It goes somewhere. You'll either spend it's an eternal being. You will either spend eternity in heaven or you'll spend eternity in hell. Not anybody here, but just people in general. If you haven't received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, if you don't think that there's such thing as eternal life, it's eternal. That spirit man is eternal and everlasting. I just was flipping through the other day on TV, and when I did, I went by TBN or CBN or one of those, and they were interviewing the guy that wrote 23 Minutes in Hell. And here's a guy that died, and when he died, he, you know how them people do, oh, I went towards a bright light. Not him. He ended up in hell. And let me tell you something. He ain't the guy he was when he had the accident and he saw that. And the things that he said that he saw and that he experienced so he could come back and tell people that's not where you want to go. It's called 23 Minutes in Hell. And he'll flat out tell you there's heaven and there's hell, and we're going to be one place or the other. I'm talking about eternal life in heaven with God the Father and God the Son, Jesus, and the Holy Ghost and the angels and all the believers that have ever lived that have had faith and received Christ. How's all that going to happen? In Jesus' name. What about those? You can say, well, what about those that died before Jesus came? The Bible says they were justified by their faith and they were in the bosom, and Jesus went down and defeated death, hell, and the grave. They received Jesus at that time. They're there too. But until that time, they were justified by their faith. Right? Acts 2:21. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So who can be saved? Whoever call on the name of the Lord. Now, God's made us creatures of choice. There are people who will not do that. And they won't make it. And he doesn't want that any not make it. He said that he would that none would perish, and all would come into the knowledge of Him. He gave His life for everyone, but not everyone will accept Him. Right? And so, look at Romans 10. Romans 10. Go to verse 13. For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. What's the opposite of saved? Lost. And you know, lost, how are you lost? You're lost in unforgiven sins and under pending judgment. Lost means that I have a broken relationship with God, at enmity with God is how the Scripture says. Lost in our inability to do anything to reconcile ourselves with God, short of confessing Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. Listen, God is not whoever you think God is. God is not whoever the God it is that you're serving. That's not God. Some people say, well, God's God depending on whoever's God to you. So if Buddha is your God, it's God. If Muhammad is your God, it's God. If Confucius is your God, it's God. We just happen to serve Jehovah God, but it's the same God, like acting in all of those capacities. And that if you're not accepting of that, then you're just not a very loving, accepting person and you're narrow-minded. The Bible says there's no other name under heaven by which you must be saved, the name of Jesus. At the name of Jesus, Buddha will bow. At the name of Jesus, Muhammad will bow. At the name of Jesus, the devil will bow. Every knee will bow. Every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. Period. But Jesus specifically said that he did what was his purpose to come? To seek and to save the lost. That was his entire purpose for coming. And everybody that calls on the name of the Lord can be saved and will be saved. Look at Acts chapter 2 again. Verse 38. Well, hopefully you were close enough that it won't cause any major problems for you. Oh, I'm still in Romans. That's why I ain't doing it. Acts 2:38, and then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, how? In the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the Holy Ghost. So, when you call on Jesus, get saved, repent of your sins, baptized in water, you experience forgiveness, you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, then all these other things that we've been talking about will come into your life at the name of Jesus. Acts 3 and 6 says, then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. Rise up, take your mat, and walk. Now we know that this man here in particular had been crippled from birth. He was begging to survive. That's how he made a living. He had been crippled from birth, begging. But when he says he's begging alms, it means he's sitting there begging for money. But Peter comes by and he says, look, I got something better than money. And see, at that time, the beggar couldn't think of anything better than money. Nobody else had that to offer. Peter had faith in the healing power of Jesus. And if this man gets his health back, he don't have to beg for money no more. He can go to work every day and become prosperous and blessed because that's what God wants to do for him. And this guy was probably looking a little more short-sighted here at this time. He just wanted some money. But Peter said, I got something better than that. He said, I want you to get up and I want you to walk in the name of Jesus. Rise up, stand up and walk. And he did. He'd been lame from birth, jumped up. Jesus poured strength and healing into that crippled man. Jesus, in the name of Jesus, there is limitless power in that name that's above all names. And you know, Jesus ought to be often on our lips. I'm going to tell you that again. We should regularly be saying that. Call upon it every time you're in need. Call upon the name of Jesus physically, emotionally, spiritually, whatever. I've heard people say, I was driving down the road and I was getting wrecked. There's no way to avoid this accident. And right before impact, I just said, Jesus. That's all they had time to say. And before they know it, something had picked up their car and they had gotten out of that. There's no way it could have happened in the natural. But when they called on the name of Jesus, that thing was avoided, miraculously avoided. He still does that kind of stuff today. I'm going to give you one more verse and we'll be done for today. And I might finish this next week. No, I'm not. Okay, Acts 3. And let's go to verse 16. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of all. Because here's what's happening. Everybody knows that this man's been crippled since birth. And they'll say, who is this man? And they'll say, oh, he was the crippled man from birth. And people go, well, you know, because he had that look about him, because he had lived that way his entire life. And now he looked different. He was happy and had a smile on his face, and his countenance had changed because he now has hope, because he's now walking around. He's received the healing, remember? And then they brought his parents in, and they said, is this your son? They go, that's our son. Was he crippled? Yep, he's crippled. Well, how did he get healed? He said, I don't know. He's of age. Ask him. Bring the guy back in again. So you're saying this man's the man that healed you? Yep, that's the man's healed me. He said, how did he do that then? He says, look, here's all I know, all right? Once I was blind, and now I see. Once I couldn't walk, now I can walk. Once I wasn't saved, now I'm saved. Whatever it is that you've got going on, whatever it is, you call on the name of Jesus, and he'll meet that need. Jesus does all things well, including providing complete healing for those who have faith in the power and authority of the name of Jesus. And remember that this healing came about how? In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. And he did. So we'll stop right there, and we'll finish up next time. I want to encourage you that at the name of Jesus, you'll see some things happening, you know? And sometimes that's all you have to say. Sometimes you can pray and you can use Jesus' name. But if you don't have time for that and you're going through something right now and you need an immediate something right now, just call on the name. Just call on the name. He knows every intent and thought of your heart. He knows exactly what you're in need of right now. Just trust him for that. And just say, Jesus. You know, we've seen that song, there's something about that name. Jesus. Well, there is something about that name. There's power in that name. There's life in that name. There's whatever it is you need in that name if you understand who you are in Jesus. Amen? Use it. Hey, that's one of the things that he's given us, that we have total liberty. Just use it. And I would say that it's probably like the world says, if you don't use it, you'll lose it. And I don't mean that you'll lose your salvation. But if you don't use it, whatever it is that you've been asking him to do, you might lose, because you've lost focus and you've lost sight. And so you claim that word in Jesus' name. When you claim that word in Jesus' name, then you just say, Lord, I just want to thank you in Jesus' name that thing that I prayed about, that thing is done in Jesus' name. I trust you. I take you at your word. I know that thing's done. I know I received it when I prayed believing. And Father, I thank you that I see the manifestation in that right now. I thank you that you've changed that situation, that you've changed my life, that you've changed my body, that you've changed whatever. Whatever it is, just believe God for it. Amen? Amen. It's good seeing y'all. And thank you for your faithfulness. Stand with me this morning. I love you and appreciate you.